Hey, what's up? This is your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self-Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show. But yes, we have another special guest to talk about another special topic tonight, so tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, you there?
Yo, yo, what's going on?
Not much. I'm about to get the guest on. I'm excited. Let's start. Let's get it started.
Let's do it.
Hey, Joy, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
How's your night going?
Hi, DC.
That's what's up. Okay, so everybody's having a good day. It's about to be Memorial Day tomorrow. Good vibes. But speaking of vibes, DC, what was the vibe of the week for you?
You said it correctly. Nothing but positive vibes and energy around here. You know, love is in
awesome.
The air. You know, Everything is good. Besides,
yes.
You know, trying to figure out, you know, what to get my kid for her birthday. You know what I'm saying? Running around here like crazy.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing in the dark on stores. It's crazy. So, but yeah, other than that, I mean, ain't enough negative energy that can stop this positive vibe that's going around. It's good.
That part, yeah. You know, it's always easy to shop online. Coronavirus has, like, really put a stop. I don't even like going to Walmart no more because I don't want to stand in line, but I've become best friends with online shopping. So, but,
right.
So, on last week's episode, we talked about, we actually lighten it up. DC said I'm too heavy and everything. We talked about back in the day stuff. We talked about trends from the 90s. We talked about the music that we didn't really appreciate growing up. And basically we talked about the fear of getting older. And it seems like it's not really the fact of dying. It's just the fact of how you die. But, you know, we also have to learn how to live life even when it comes to getting older. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can't just look at the negative parts of it. But was there anything that you wanted to say back on that, Joy?
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, I remember my big-ass hair. I was back in the 90s, so I'm older than you guys, and my hair was, like, ridiculously big. But it was like crazy. I'm here with my brother during this pandemic thing and my sister-in-law, mm-hmm. who I went to high school with, and we were looking at pictures the other day. I was like, oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe I was out in public like that. But far as dying, though, that's such a good point. I agree with that so much, and it is the way we die as
mm-hmm.
opposed to dying itself. I mean, that is the fear that's going around right now because of the pandemic. It is that fear of death, but really, you're right. It is the fear of how this thing could cause you to die. So that's such
true.
A wonderful point.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that. So with that being said, we're going to segue right into the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic tonight. So the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic tonight is body language cries out for help, too. And this is something that we really didn't pay attention to growing up. I know for me as a kid, I fidgeted a lot. I had to have something twirling in my hands at all times. I still do it to this day. And instead of someone, you know, kind of picking out, like, okay, what's wrong? You know what I'm saying? Because when I wouldn't have it in my hand, I would get real anxious. And I used to always wonder, well, why do I need this to keep me calm? So, you know, Joy, you have a platform called Her Voice Source, and you have people come on who have dealt with physical abuse, emotional, verbal, spiritual work and all. And, you know, you've been a victim of a lot of that. So my first question for you is what kind of signs does the body show when we're going through trauma that people need to pay attention to?
Yeah. This is such an amazing topic. So I can use some signs from my own life. And there's such a,
mm-hmm.
I guess there is a significant difference between signs in a child and signs in adult, and I'll try to make it real quick. So the signs in a child is what you're talking about, which is would be fidgeting with things, having to have like maybe a teddy bear or a pillow or a blanket with you, being very shy, holding your body itself in a way that would suggest that something happened to you, whether it's tilting your head to the side as you walk or having your shoulders slumped over, not being able to maintain eye contact with people. A lot of people think that when you can't maintain eye contact with people, it's a sign that they're a liar. And it's actually a sign of trauma. And it's because you have been traumatized by, whether it was a man or a woman, you can't hold contact with people because you have no respect for yourself because people have taken that away from you. So oftentimes people that can't hold that eye contact is a sign of trauma. Being very jumpy, not liking to be touched.
I've been there before.
I'm sure that, like, this is a sign that goes from childhood through to adulthood, is even as somebody approaches you, you can be jumpy, or maybe you take a step back, you know, because you don't have that trust in that person, so you don't know what they're going to do. But as a child, it can be way more intensified, where even raising your hand to a child to, like, pat them on the back, they could, you know, jump out of their seat, whether it's a school, a teacher, a parent, whoever it is. What do you guys see? I would like to, when you look at people, what do you guys notice that could be indicative of somebody that has gone through something?
I mean, I think it's simply just that. I mean, you know, just the resentment, you know, of just being near someone. I mean, I'm sure that's probably like a sign of, like, you know, abuse or something like that. Or, you know, just not being able to kind of look a person in the eye. They're always kind of looking down. You know, that might be just a sign of, you know, a learned behavior growing up where, you know, you know, you've been told to do that all your life, you know. But I think, that's definitely like a sign that I would, you know, definitely point out. But Joy, my question, my next question though is, do you feel like trauma ever does it ever go away?
Absolutely. I think, okay, so let me back that up. Let me take that absolutely back. I think that trauma, so it's a yes and a no answer to your question. I think that trauma survivors will always have, and again, everybody has trauma. So there's like big T trauma and little T trauma, but I believe that the 7 billion people that live and exist in this world have experienced some form of trauma. So does it ever go away? Yes, in the fact that we can live normal lives without being that jumpy person that shies away from people, that maybe has constant digestive issues, headaches all the time, you know, doesn't have any friends. That kind of stuff, that kind of symptom, that can go away, and it's going through the process of healing. I do, however, believe that trauma survivors that have gone through significant trauma, like sexual abuse or war or childhood, any kind of childhood abuse, I think that there will always be a heightened state of awareness where you notice when people are like, that's a good person, that's a bad person, or, ooh, this doesn't feel right. This feels similar to when I was young. So I think trauma survivors will always have that heightened sense of awareness.
Okay. I like that you said that, you know, like our bodies, you know what I'm saying, hold a lot of trauma. And the fact of like getting to the point of wanting to, like you said, live a normal life, it takes a lot of layers to get peeled back. I'm learning right now, like I really thought writing my book last year about my story would help me to heal. It just opened my eyes to like a lot of stuff. And, you know, you have your days where you go through your anger. You have your days where you go through your sadness. I just feel like you're supposed to go through waves of emotions with healing, but you're not supposed to hold on to them. And we get stuck in the anger part. When we get stuck in the anger part, and we got to look past that. So that ties into my next question for you, Joy. Do you think our body language shows signs of trauma because we were forced not to speak about our pain?
That is a deep question. Okay.
See, I can't win for losing.
Oh, man, you have some good questions. I'm going to ask you to repeat that question again, but before you do, I want to just – so there's a book by Bessel van der Kolk called The Body Keeps the Score. And it's and you guys out there that are listening, if you are experiencing any kind of trauma that we're talking about, I would highly recommend this book. But Bessel, he has a quote, and it says, as long as you keep secrets and suppress information, you are fundamentally at war with yourself. And so just to reiterate what you're saying, what you just said is so true. And the the amount of mountains that you have climbed over just the course of the last year that I've known you is because you have let those secrets out and you've been talking about them. And that's why I feel it's the whole reason of being in community and saying, I'm done with this and it's time to talk.
Yeah.
So I apologize. Repeat that question.
You're fine. You're fine. Thank you for that quote. No, I was saying, do you think our body language shows signs of trauma because we were forced by others not to speak about our pain?
Yes and no. So probably a lot of these are going to be yes and no answers. So yes, we were forced not to speak about our pain. Most trauma survivors were forced not to. And so when you're forced not to do something, you know, you're holding it inside, and of course it's going to display somewhere. But the way that trauma works is it is not necessarily the incident itself. So it's not – so let's say somebody was sexually assaulted. It's not necessarily that sexual assault that has affected the person. It is the way that your body received it. So your body is keeping track of all that happens. So if you see someone that looks similar to your attacker, or if somebody touches you on the arm in the same way, your body remembers that. So most of the reason is because our body has a memory. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. That was well put. No ifs, ands, or buts about that one. So my next question is trauma possibly a self-rehabilitating thing, or do you need necessary people to get you through the process?
And this is my personal opinion. I would say that it's not self-rehabilitating if it's big T trauma. So when I say big T, I mean exactly what I said before, like sexual assault, physical assault, childhood abuse, war, that kind of trauma. It's very, very hard to self-heal because when you're a child and you're abused from another person. So basically, you're traumatized in community. So whenever there's even just one more person, it's considered a community. So if you were abused by your whole family, you were then abused in a community. And so then it takes a community in order for you to heal. And you cannot heal unless you're willing to face and look at the things that have traumatized you. Now, I would say if we're talking about something like a car accident, which is a trauma, and even this pandemic is a trauma, I would say for that, you could probably self-rehabilitate as long as you're not denying, like maybe you woke up in the middle of the night with a nightmare of that car accident. As long as you're not denying that and saying, oh, that's so stupid, I can't even believe I let that bother me. As long as you're saying, wow, okay, I was in a traumatic car accident, and it's okay. This reaction is normal. Just allowing yourself to feel it helps you to self-heal.
I definitely agree with that. like this ties into my next question, what I'm going to say. It's definitely not a self-rehabilitating, but you do have to learn to, you know, be content with yourself and not distract. You definitely have to ask those uncomfortable questions, but you do need a support team around you. You get what I'm saying? To help you get through. I think, like, for me growing up, I didn't have that with family. Like, you know, no one talked about stuff. It was like it happened and let's get over it. But, you know, as a child, I found myself still trying to process it. And I dealt with a lot of anger. And people used to always come out saying, oh, she's so defensive. Oh, she takes stuff so personal. So my next question is, would you say anger in a child at an early age is a sign of help? If so, why do we reward their anger with punishment?
I had a girl on my podcast that's what we talked about, childhood trauma and anger. I love it. I would say 100% undeniably yes. If you have a child that is angry or displaying signs of rage and anger, 100% yes, something is going on. You don't know what's going on, but something is going on. Because that is not just a normal behavior pattern. And then the second part of your question, why do we punish children that are angry? Oh, it drives me crazy. We call the terrible twos, terrible twos. They're not terrible twos. Kids are coming into their autonomy, and they're learning who they are. They're learning when to say no. That's beautiful. So why do we punish kids when they're angry? Because that's what we were taught, right?
Yeah.
That's what you
learned to
That's what my parents did to me. That's what we think we're supposed to do. You're an angry dad, so we have to stop it. And it's not bad. Mm. It's really a good emotion to let out, right?
That part.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because, I mean, you definitely
don't want... How many
times
do you guys get angry? Seriously, even now.
The devil tried to test you. How many times do you get angry? Almost every other day, honestly.
Yeah.
You know? That's because that's because the road, the way people drive in Philly. I'm sorry. No shade, but I'm just saying. But yeah, and that's what I get mostly angry about.
Well,
yeah, how often do you get angry?
Oh, almost every day. I get angry just waking up sometimes.
That's because
I gotta crack these old people bones, you know, crack the knuckles, bend the knees. Those be popping like popcorn, but but no, it definitely. I mean, it's an emotion that you should express. You know, you shouldn't have that type of type of anger or frustration pinned up, because you know who's to say who would trigger you to act such way, and your anger goes to like a whole nother level, that could take things further than what you anticipated. But
go ahead. I was just going to say, I used to have major rage issues because of all my trauma. I mean, I was a crazy person, but I learned and I know I don't sound like that now, but it was bad. But now I've learned, when I'm angry, to ask my body, what are you angry about? What is going on? And your body responds.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry,
That's all. Yeah, the body is a sign of, telling you the truth about anything more than anything. But that does bring me into my next question. How do you deal with a person who is currently experiencing trauma? Because we tend to run away from people who may be experiencing some sense of trauma, due to the difficulties and the intimidations of being able to just handle it from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you tend to, like, deal with someone that could possibly be going through it?
Yeah.
That's a great, great question. For me, I would say, if I knew somebody had gone through trauma and I was, like, maybe friends with them, not best friends, but on a level of friends with them, I would be present with them. I would be present. I would not push for them to talk, but I would make myself available. I would make it known that I'm here for them if they ever want to talk. And I would just try my best to be that constant source, not frustrated if they don't talk or angry if they act some kind of silly way because of the trauma. I would try to position myself as just a constant person that is there, even if I don't say anything. Maybe I'm just sitting next to them and not talking, but maybe that's exactly what they need. So I think that that's the most important thing, is just making yourself available to that person and just letting them know you're here, even if it's just to sit and be silent.
Right. That part. No, because I've been watching Grapevine, and I know I've said this like a couple of podcasts in, but I don't care. It's a good show. You know, it's like a panel where, like, you know, a lot of different foreign students from different cultures come together, but it's mostly Nigerians, Jamaicans, and Africans, and they was talking about how mental illness is such a taboo thing in the Black community. And, you know, they were saying, like, a lot of people, you try to come to your parents about help and everything, and they'd be like, oh, no, you don't have that. There's nothing wrong with you. Nope, you're fine. And I remember, you know, coming to my family about, like, I think that I'm dealing with anxiety. Oh, no, you're fine. No, you're fine. You know what I'm saying? And because, like, going to therapy in the Black community, you're considered crazy. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, like, you start to question yourself, like, okay, well, damn, you know what I'm saying? Am I going crazy and everything? And it's like, it doesn't get resolved over time, and it just eats at you. You know what I'm saying? And that's why you have so many people who are addicted to alcohol, so many people who are trying to find themselves in other human beings, you know, like just so many other different variations. You get what I'm saying? And like, I just like really wanted to like kind of bring this topic up because me and DC, we talk, and this is how we get our topics. And I was telling him, like, you know, growing up, why did kids get punished, like, you know what I'm saying, for their anger? You know, like, it was always detention. It was always suspension. Then you get home, and it's like, oh, you're gonna be a failure. Is that what you want to do in school, keep getting kicked out? No one's asking the child what is wrong. I forget which school it was. It was somewhere where it was a Catholic school of boys. They actually let them do meditation. And they're seeing many more results. You get what I'm saying? Because it's like no one's asking. And then I had to really look at it like this, you know, no one's asking because everybody's always placing judgment. You know, like when the kid goes on to the next grade, and as a kid I shouldn't have known this, but I listened a little bit too much. You have teachers talking about who the bad student is off rip. So instead of, you know, this next person hearing all this, instead of them taking their own, you know, like, you know, judgment, and you know what I'm saying, like trying to get to know the person, they already have these other judgments that were projected on them about the child. You get what I'm saying? So they already have in the back of their mind, I'm not going to help them. You get what I'm saying? And and the child feels like, in a way, that's how the child becomes so bad and all this ADHD, because they feel like this is the only way that I get attention. I'm only getting attention when I'm being bad, so let me keep doing it. It's not the type of attention I want, but it's what I'm getting. You get what I'm saying? And
true.
We have to really pay attention to the body language in our kids. But
Was
there anything else that you wanted? Was there anything else that you wanted to say, Joy?
Well, I'll comment off of a little bit of what you just said. I go to a group on Monday nights. Actually, I think that you came to the group a couple times. But there is a couple of girls there that are Nigerian. And one of the girls was really struggling with depression and why she's depressed. Like, she shouldn't be like this. And she's really beating herself up.
Right.
And that was my question to her with, what does your family dynamic say about mental illness? And she just broke down crying. And it was because her family dynamic says that if you are mentally ill, whether it's depression or anxiety or anything, then you're crazy. You don't belong in this family if you're like that. And it's just so sad. And it's also exciting that she realized that she can begin to break that generational pattern and start something new. You know what I mean? To feel comfortable and okay with being sad or being angry or depressed or whatever it is, and allowing yourself to be that, and seeing how far she's come is, it's amazing. And so I love that patterns can be broken.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That part.
Yeah.
Well, my last question for you. I'm sorry, DC. Yeah, you want to say something real quick?
Oh, no, yeah, go ahead. No, yeah.
So I was just going to say my last question would be, like, what advice would you give to parents or teachers or mentors, anyone who's responsible for kids? Like, you know, what would you say to them out there to help them know the signs of trauma in a child, to change the narrative?
Okay. Okay, so for teachers, I'm gonna say teachers or parents or anybody that's working with a child, that I guess number one, it would be if you see a child that maybe at the beginning of the year came in and is very active, very involved, happy, doing their work, and then all of a sudden significantly changes and is now acting out, has, you know, some anger outbursts, is maybe speaking out in class when they're not supposed to, or hitting other kids. If you notice that really, really drastic difference, please don't punish that child. Please pull that child aside, whether it's during recess or during lunch or after school or whatever it is, and please just make sure that that child knows that you care and that you love them and that you are there for them if they ever want to talk about anything. So that's number one, being that drastic difference.
Yes.
And then with a child, as a parent, you can certainly go, you know, to the furthest extent. But as a teacher or, you know, maybe an after-school worker, you can't but do so much. So you just make sure that child knows that you're that safe person that they can come to when they're ready to talk. So being that drastic difference, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's crazy that you say that because I actually know of a teacher. She was a math teacher, but she was also a cheerleader coach. And two of her cheerleaders, this was like back in middle school, two of them were fighting. And she took them into the bathroom and popped them. And one of them was like, oh, you don't put your hands on me. But the other one was like actually kind of thankful for it because, you know, she was like, I never lived in a household that had structure or punishment. You know, like that showed me that she actually loves me. You get what I'm saying? So I don't know, it's just crazy. Like some people do take that extra step, like in those movies, like Freedom Riders. You have some teachers that really go the extra mile to be that change for that child. But Deesh, you know what was you about to say, because I cut you off earlier?
No, I was just gonna go into another question, but I had forgotten. It was your turn to ask the question.
Ask your question.
Okay, so depending on the trauma, this is depending on the trauma. Why do we sometimes assume that we'll relive the trauma through others?
See, that's a God question.
Well,
all right, I'm listening.
Come on with God.
That's a really good question, though, because it's not that we think we're gonna relive it. We do relive it. Here's why we relive it. We relive it because our body does keep the score. So let's say you were sexually abused growing up from a family member, and you grow up and you start dating and you date a guy that you are familiar with. So because I don't want to get into all kinds of science, but your autonomic nervous system, let's call them your private Navy SEALs, okay? And they are constantly surveilling the world for danger. However, your Navy SEALs only know the world based on your past.
Yep.
So although they protected you, or they tried to protect you in the past, they also, in the present, are going to seek out what's familiar. So what's familiar to you is abuse. So you're going to seek out somebody that probably has some kind of abusive tendency, because it is what, you know, when you hear people say, oh, that's just what you, the universe, you know, you're drawn to that in the universe. Well, it kind of is true, but it's just because of your trauma, your autonomic nervous system is surveilling for that. A really, really, really short, a short synopsis of that. There's a whole lot more, but basically we do relive it. Now, if you're talking about somebody that, let's say they were really, really, really abused when they were growing up, and they happen to meet this really awesome guy, and maybe you get into a fight one day. Nothing big, nothing abusive, but you get into a fight and your voices are raised, and that person that was abused when they were young now looks at you and says, you're just like my father. You're so abusive. Right? And that has happened, and it's because any kind of yelling or screaming from that person, it feels very much like the same thing, even though it's not anything like it. So
that's like that. That's where you would say that that's the trigger, and that plays into why we play damage control in our relationship.
Correct.
Got you.
That's correct.
Correct. You got your apple juice and crackers, DC.
Yeah,
I'm off my drive. I'll be right back. Let me go get my Ritz.
Did that answer your question a little bit?
No, yeah, I mean, that answered it to the T.
Okay, good. Well, okay. Well, we could definitely segue right there, Joy. Thank you so much for shining light on that. Now it's time to segue into Let Your Light Shine moment. So, Joy, with someone, I've listened to your story on your platform. Guys, please go tune into Her Voice Soars. You can find it on Spotify, iTunes. I listen to it on Spotify, but, you know, Joy, your story on there, you went through spiritual abuse. You went through physical abuse, emotional and verbal. Why is self-love your rehab? Because I've seen you, like, really transform since we've met last year.
Yeah. Ah, and you played a big part of that.
Thank you.
Really, you have. Self-love, I'll tell you what, when I met you a year ago, even though I had gone through extensive healing through all the abuses, I did not know how to implement self-love. I really didn't. I thought self-love was taking care of people and, you know, doing all the steps to continuing to be busy until I met you and you were like, yeah, I'm doing like this self-love, and I'm going to have an agency. And I was like, okay, that's great. And I really did not understand. And you did it. And then you got a website, and you did all that. And I was like, wow, she's really doing it. And I started going, I don't think I know what self-love is, like reading people's comments and all of that stuff. And I then started to learn what self-love was and how to take care of me, my body, my time, my space. So self-love is my rehab, because you can go through all of the healing in the world, and if you don't know how to love yourself and give yourself the care it needs, then your healing will not be complete. It won't be, because you will continue in that cycle of trying to help other people and neglecting your own needs. And so this year I have really, really, really tried to concentrate on learning what self-love is for me and learning how to take care of myself. And one of the things that I learned that I love is meditation. And I have spent the last year learning how to meditate, and it has helped me more than anything else has.
Thank you. Yeah. No, speaking of that, tell them about some of your self-love tips, you know, with like go into the self-love tips that you do so that listeners out there can help implement that into their life. Because a lot of us don't know what it is, honestly.
Yeah. 44, almost 48 years old, guys, and I just learned at 47 last year, so...
it's never too late.
It isn't, right. So I've learned that But getting up in the morning and starting my day off by taking, I literally need 3 hours in the morning. And I never knew that. I used to get out of bed and answer the phone and just go do whatever everybody else wanted me to do. And by the end of the day, I was like in a rage, like, leave me alone. But I would continue to answer the phone. I get up, I take 3 hours in the morning, no matter how early I have to get up. I drink my coffee, and I sit, and I meditate for about an hour. And it calms me, it grounds me, it centers me. And then I go and I take a walk for either a half hour to an hour. And that is the beginning of my day. I need it. I love it. And when I do without it, it completely, can I say fuck? It completely fucks my day
up.
Yeah,
we cuss.
When I don't
cuss on her,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I get it.
It does.
Most definitely. Yeah.
And then I guess another thing for me would be just noticing when I need time alone. And so when I need time alone, I know that I need to go take myself out on a date. And I remember you said that a year ago. Yeah, I'm going on a date. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. And
it was fun.
So I started doing that too. Not so much right now, but
right.
So it's hard to know.
Thank you for definitely sharing that. No, you're fine. Thank you for definitely sharing that. Like, you know what I'm saying? I meditate, and I tell people all the time, meditation is so many different ways. Like, people understand writing stuff down, you know, speaking, like, you know, the power of a tongue, like, the tongue is very powerful. Like, so many different ways to meditate. But, yes, alone time is always the best thing to do. Like you said, like, you get frustrated when you're doing so much for other people, but we don't know how to say, I can't do it, because we're guilted into, you ain't got time for me. So thank you for sharing that alone time. It's definitely a self-love tip. Okay. Well, we're going to segue into shout outs and appreciations. Joy, we'll let you go first if you have any shout outs or appreciations.
Okay. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm shouting out to just
anybody you
want
to shout out. Yep. Anything you appreciate or anybody you want to shout out.
Yeah, I would love to shout out to you and DC. I have been listening to your podcast since the very beginning, and you guys really have been such an inspiration to me.
Oh, my.
But
I know you've
been an inspiration to other people. I mean, really, there's been days that I've just been, like, sad or pissed off, and I've listened to your podcast, and literally it's changed the trajectory of my day. So Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Yes.
And I want to shout out to all you guys that are in quarantine, which is the whole world, and tell you to hold on because there is great blessing coming out of this time. So hang in there and hold on. Life is not lost. We will get back on the road.
Change is coming. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, DC, what's your shout out and appreciation?
Well, you know my shout out. Let me give my shout outs real quick. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Self Love is My Rehab. Without this podcast, it wouldn't be possible to better myself on a consistent basis every single day. Shout out to you, Complex, for bringing me on. Without you, I couldn't be able to be myself. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. That is my baby. It's been on and popping ever since I got started. If you need to, and you will eventually, go on to IG and follow my page on there. That is Dynamic_Culture_Apparel. And you can also locate me on Facebook as well as Dynamic Culture Apparel. I got a lot of stuff coming out this summer, so please be in tune with that. It is not a game. I'm not playing with y'all. It's about to be a hot summer, for real. And lastly, shout out to the Positive Vibes and Energy. We in love with it. We cherish it. We appreciate it. And shout out to everybody with negative energy as well. At the end of the day, we still love you. We just waiting on you to catch up, Mustard. That's all I got.
All right. Okay. I want to say shout out to Joy for coming on. Joy, like last year, meeting you and having that interview about my book really helped me to see a lot of things. I fought you on a lot of stuff that you said. I did. But you were not lying about the process to heal and the layers and the mindset, the change. Like, as much as you say I've been a help to you, you've been a help to me too. And I really want to thank you for coming on and shining light. We're definitely going to rotate you back into season three. You know, future seasons should come on. Shout out to you, DC. Thank you for being available the other night. I got triggered, you know what I'm saying, writing this new book, Out of Darkness. The devil is like, really, the enemy is really messing with me when it comes to this, because it's like he's trying to remind me of all the stuff that I learned with No Apologies, and that's trying to make me stop writing, and I just refuse to. So, you know, DC was telling me, like, you just got to, you know, debrief, like, you know, do a little pep talk, because you're going to have those memories and everything. It's only when you put action behind it is when it becomes wrong.
Yeah.
You're human. And I really want to say thank you for that. Shout out to my book, No Apologies. The magazine interview that I just did is dropping. No Apologies has really been setting a lot of platforms for me. So I just keep thanking, you know what I'm saying, the growth and everything. Shout out to God, because without him, there is no me, and I don't have a close relationship with myself if I don't have a close relationship with him. So with that being said, we're about to segue. Joy, DC, are y'all ready to get your mind stimulated?
Should I cue it?
Congratulations on your one-year book anniversary, too. Yeah, so I'm ready to get my mind stimulated.
Thank you.
Let me know when to cue it.
Cue what? Do it. Drop it.
Let's stimulate that mind, Kareem.
Okay. All right. So the question this week is, are you at a humble place in your heart to bless someone else who has betrayed you in the past? Joy, we'll let you answer
no,
first.
Baby.
Oh, man.
You can be honest.
Okay.
You can be honest. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll tell you that the last 3 months so the answer is yes. I'm trying to be. I try every day to be. The last 3 months, I have been on a journey to reconcile with my family. I was at my father's house for a month and a half, and at my brother's house now for the last 2 months. And yes, I've had to humble myself a lot, because I'm around people that have played a part in my childhood abuse. And so, however, I will say that I went through a lot of healing to get there. I tried it before the healing, and it ended up in a rage fest. But now it has, I think it's not every day is the best, but most days have been a blessing. So,
awesome. Okay.
Well, I'll piggyback off of Joy. I know I was being a little childish in the beginning, but I'm ready to be an adult and answer this question now. But I mean, I can say that I'm in a humble enough place now to be able to, you know, make amends, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, because like Joy said, you know, until you're at peace is when you're able to make amends with your past, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And there may be some cases where, like, those amends may not be available because of, you know, just the overall lack of communication. You know, you might not be able to reach out to these people. But, you know, the people that you can't reach out to, don't hesitate to do so. You know what I'm saying? Because you just never know how much healing that could do by just, you know, cleaning the slate with someone. You know, but in my opinion, though, this is just my opinion. Sometimes, like, I don't honestly feel like that's a giving for some people. Because some people can just use that against you and, you know, basically just waste your time. You know, you just got to pick and choose who to pretty much make amends with, or who to even really start to have that conversation with. You know, that person could be going through a healing process as well. You know, and you don't want to have the clashing mechanism happen, and then, you know, you're back to square one of just hating each other. You know, so you definitely have to just pick and choose as to who you choose to make amends with.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's how I look at it.
That's great.
Well, so I had got my ass handed to me on a platter during the prayer conference that I created with my co-host, Queen K. Shout out to Queen K. I had got my ass handed to me. We was talking about this on there, and a special guest came on and was basically telling me that in order to get the bitterness and wickedness out my heart when it comes to my sister, I have to look at why she's hurting, look at the upbringing to really try to understand where she's coming from. And I can't look at it from, oh, well, I was going through the same thing. You get what I'm saying? I got out of it. Why can't she? So I said, okay, all right, let me try to do that. And I just, like, really started to process our upbringing. Now, my sister's darker than me. I'm lighter. My sister felt like it was a lot of favoritism growing up. And, you know, I had to really just look back and just think, like, you know what? I could have responded and approached certain things differently. And, you know, it's not really about forgiving because I may be in the wrong. I mean, we all play a part in it. It's really about forgiving to, like, let the anger go, to let the bitterness go. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Forgetting is going to take a long time to do, but I think, like, once I get to the coping part, it'll be easier to say, okay, the pain is out of sight, out of mind. You get what I'm saying? So
right. That's
why I brought that question into here, because it's like I need to learn how to work on my response with people, because like Joy said earlier, with anger, you know what I'm saying? I always thought my sister was very negative, and I'm like, you always got so much negative stuff to say. And I'm like, well, damn, when did you ever give a listening ear? You get what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Right.
So
can I ask
you
a question?
Thank you, too. Sure.
Do you think that forgetting a trauma or an injustice, do you think that that is the right thing to do?
Well, they say that you're not supposed to forget stuff to because you don't want to go back to what you prayed yourself out of. I want
right.
to so much. I want to forget that, because when I speak on my sister, like when people ask me, have you talked to your sister, I'm snapping at them like a demon just came out of me. So I'm trying to get to a point of like where I can speak about my sister in love. And in order to do that, I have to, you know what I'm saying? Like I have to get past all those layers, because I was really mad that she didn't give me guidance growing up. But I had to learn that as females, when we're trying to find ourselves, even as men, the other roles that we take on go to the back burner when we're trying to find ourselves, and that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
So I just want to be able to have mental freedom. But, yeah.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
No, but thank you. Thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
No,
thank you.
No problem. All right, DC, drop that dynamic quote of the week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are approaching the closed caption of this show for tonight, and we are going to drop a dynamic quote for you this evening, and the quote goes as, teach yourselves not to announce good news until everything is sealed. Premature announcements attracts evil spirits. So, with that being said, never gloat about anything and everything that you're doing while in the process. Because you might have people out there that can just envy the simple fact of your success on the upcoming, and they can easily prey on that. You know, I don't necessarily believe in it, but, you know, things happen. The universe, you know, it happens. You know, people speak into the universe and these things happen. So just learn to just move in silence and, you know, prosper in silence. You know, not everything needs to be displayed and glorified. You know, whatever goes on within your circle should stay in your circle until it's well-structured and it has enough, you know, power around it to where nothing can really attack it. But,
that's
the quote for tonight. And with that being said, we are out of here. Peace and love, and have a good night, everybody.
Peace and love.
Thanks, guys.
Internet.
Love you.
All right. Love you, too.
Love. Bye.